It's a beautiful song. May I never lose the wonder of your presence. And that speaks of relationship, right? When we never lose our wonder of his presence. And you know, secondly, we sung about this friendship, that the gift of Jesus' friendship is unlike something we've ever known. And you know, I think the importance for us, even as we start this evening, as we continue with our focus on spiritual gifts, is that we are to be that representation of Jesus to the world around us. That when people come through these doors, when people come and experience Christianity in its authentic, real form, that we would represent him in a relationship that when people walk through these doors, it's unlike a relationship that they've ever known. That when they walk through those doors, they say, I don't ever want to leave this place. Because I haven't just met people who love Jesus, I met Jesus himself through people. And so I think that's just such a great foundation for what I want to share. It was lovely, just well done, Pierre, for just getting some real stories about what spiritual gifts look like. And you guys shared so well. Bronwyn, like you said, where's your notes? And then you preached to us, took off my sermon away. Well done. Who would have thought? And so, yeah, let's stand. Let's pray together before we start. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, which is you and your Son. That you came and you bled and died on the cross for us, that we could be in a beautiful relationship with you. And Lord, then when you left, you said, I'm going, but I'm going to leave someone, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit, even as we sing this song this evening, that you would fall like rain, it's that you would fall on us, that you would empower us, that you would call us and remind us, Lord, Holy Spirit, that as you pour on us, that the power that you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead that lives in us, is not for ourselves, but for each other in a lost and dying world. So God, I pray that even as I preach this evening, Lord, that this word would bring power to our lives. Lord, that our lives would realign itself with your plans and your purposes and your will. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that as I minister this word, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, that your voice would be the loudest in the room. And I thank you for what you're about to do in our hearts and minds this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about this this thing of gifts, and I think sometimes I was thinking about, can you give yourself a gift? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if you can gift yourself, like, step out of yourself, and then you place the thing there, and you stand here, and then you say, okay, this is for you, and then you say, oh, thank you very much. It's kind of weird, right? But this thing of gifts is, it's always going to be about someone else. And some of the guys that were saying in the beginning is gifts cost you something, right? Like, if you've been at your chummy's house, and he's got this thing that you like, and it's been lying around there for ages, and you had your eye on it, and it's a bit battened and broken and whatever, but it still works. And he says, ah, man, I'm tired of this thing. I can have it. It's like, okay, that's cool. But when we know when it comes around to our birthdays, right, and there's a bit of suspense in the air. Mom and dad, if you're young, or even if you're old, your husband or your wife, they've sort of heard your hints, you know. Like they say, faith without hints is dead. And then that, you know, like it was a bit of a stretch. You know, your parents, I remember when I was younger, we weren't very well off, and my parents would actually, I really wanted a BMX bike, but I knew that, oh, back then it was BMX ET, you know, going over the moon. It was a big thing. We tried to go over hills and humps and crashed doing it many times. But there's something, there's this anticipation because somebody has sacrificed financially, whatever it is. They've paid a price to give you something that you don't necessarily expect or deserve. And so this thing of gifts is so relevant in our lives. And so last week, just to recap quickly, we looked, Mike brought us 4 points. So tonight I'm not going to go into the gifts as much. I'm hoping that I'm going to bring this at a little bit of a different angle to give us a foundation of why the gifts are important and why you should earnestly seek the gifts, actually. And so Mike mentioned 4 things. You can remember them. Anyone make notes? Yes. Yeah, many kinds of spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts vary in strength, yes. Yeah. All right, there we go. Somebody took notes. Woo! I don't even have a chocolate for you. Okay, so the many kinds of spiritual gifts, God's grace is increasingly is incredibly diverse. No one has every gift. We know that. Spiritual gifts vary in strength. God gives gifts according to His will. And so if your gift is bigger or small, it's not because you're awesome. It's because He is. Okay? And some gifts carry greater responsibility. We read in the scriptures, apostles, prophets, teachers carry greater responsibility and influence. But this does not make those people more important or more spiritual. So just because I'm called to full-time ministry in this capacity and I have to lead you doesn't mean I'm better or greater than you at all. That's why we don't build around ministry gifts or personalities or styles, because every gift is important. I just get hit harder when I get to heaven one day. This says those who you teach will be judged even harsher. So I've got to be careful what I say. And so there's a sobering thing. So, that's kind of something I probably got to expect when I stand before God one day. Did I teach you properly? Did I divide the word of God rightly? And so it's a great responsibility, but it doesn't mean that because I'm standing up here, I'm more spiritual or better than you at all. Every gift is important. And then, so point number four was every gift is important. And so this evening, I want to take a little bit of a different angle. And if I were to give this preacher title, it's this. It's, and you can put that slide up. First one, scripture slide. Love does. Love does. And we're going to look at why that's important. But I want you to read with me, just to recap a little bit, Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go there quickly. We're going to jump around a little bit. But there's a couple of things that I just want to highlight for us. We'll jump around a few scriptures, but just to get our mindset on what am I talking about tonight? What does love does? What has love got to do with spiritual gifts? And love is not a gift. It's something you do, and it's something we work hard at. Some of you are more lovable than others. You can take it both ways. Maybe you love more. Maybe we love you more. But it says this, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. And so this is probably primarily why we are looking at spiritual gifts, because it's so important for the body of Christ. And it's something that we haven't looked at probably in a long time or really ever before since I've been leading. But it says for you and I, that's myself and not just leaders, but every one of us, I don't want you to be uninformed. Verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service. Saw something a little bit about that earlier, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in just preachers and teachers, just deacons and elders, community leaders. Okay, in everyone. To each, that's every one of us, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who appointed to each one, okay, every one of us, individually as He wills. And then we'll skip all the way down to verse 31 of Corinthians chapter 12, and it says to you and I, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire. Earnestly desire. So I'm really hoping that as we've been looking at spiritual gifts, as Mike brought the word last week, that there's been a stirring in your hearts that we're not just sitting here on a pew warming a seat every Sunday. We wouldn't be building well. And as I go through this preach, you're going to begin to realize that Jesus doesn't build a church or want a church where you come and you sit in your seat and you're just a number and you listen to a preacher on a Sunday, you sing a couple of hymns in more traditional churches, and then you walk out and you go home and maybe you attend a community or you read your Bible. That's not the church that Jesus calls us to build. So who builds the church? Who builds it? Jesus says, I will build my church, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But how does He do it? Through leaders, elders, deacons, and community leaders? Through every one of us. So I want you to think about that for a moment this evening, is that every single one of you sitting in your seat are responsible for the building of Edgemead PM. There's no get out of jail free card. Okay, or where you get to, you know, play those games where you get skip a turn. Every one of us is responsible for playing our part in building the body of Christ. And so Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 16, let's look at that together. It says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you. Okay, so Paul has been serious here. He says, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So I want to say that just because I am paid to do this, I'm not the only one here in full-time ministry and have a calling on my life. Paul says, I urge you, every one of us, that we must walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That's every one of us is called to a ministry. Do you realize that? That you have a ministry. And he says we need to do this with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager, again, there's a determination. Like if you know someone who's eager, they're eager to leave when you're talking too long. Or they're eager to go because there's something better to do. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Again, just as you and I were called to one hope that belongs again to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of us all, who is over all and through all, that's you and I, and in all, which is inside of every one of us. It says this, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then we'll jump down to verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to do what? To equip who? The skilled? The capable? The studied? The saints. Who are the saints? That's all of us. To do what? For the work of the ministry. So every single one of us sitting here in Edgemead PM has a ministry according to the gifts that God has given you as you sit in your seat. Let that sink in for a little bit. Every one of us is called to full-time ministry, that we've got a calling on our lives. To do what? For the building up of the body of Christ. Until what? We all attain the unity of the faith. That means that when we are together in this place, or when we're out of this place, or we meet on community, that we are of one heart and one mind and one purpose, that is to see the kingdom of God come on this earth together, that it gets manifested through your life and my life. And secondly, until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? To mature manhood or womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, if we just look at that scripture alone, it compels us and speaks to us that says that we can't think that we can come into a place like this and just sit and warm a seat. And this is so much bigger than just coming on a Sunday and attending on a Wednesday and reading our Bibles and being friendly to the person next to us. I want us to realize and get this into our heart that no matter where you are in your Christian journey, even if you got saved last week, that God has called you to a ministry, that he's placed a calling on your life and my life. And he's calling us to be eager in it, to walk in it, and to move in it. And so we've seen that God actually gives us spiritual gifts for a purpose. And every one of us has a spiritual gift. And as Mike explained last week, not all of them are prophecy or teaching or preaching or speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues. There are many. I think there was like 32 gifts or something that the Bible talks about. And he said that there are probably many, many, many more. And so Paul speaks about unity. It means that we all have one purpose. We have one goal, and that is to be used by God in what he's called us. Why? Because spiritual gifts were never given to make us look impressive. They were never given to create competition, comparison, or spiritual celebrities. They were given to strengthen the unity of the body of Christ. And notice what it says. It says to each one of us. God is calling every single one of us to be active in that which he's called us. I'm just watching the time, so I'm going to skip a couple of things. Okay, so we know that these gifts come from Christ. He is the one that gives it to us through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here, and He activates us under the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, He is not a force. It's not, may the force be with you. It's a person of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. When we sang, Lord, rain, come down, it's the activation of that spiritual gift that God has given us and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so our aim in Edgebeat PM, as we eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit and faithfully exercise them and lovingly serve one another, I believe that God wants to create a culture, biblical culture in you and I, that each and every one of us step out in these gifts, that we find these gifts and we exercise them in and around the body and outside into the world. And so point number one is this. Love is the motive. Love is the motive. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So Corinthians chapter 12 is all about the gifts. Paul talks about that. But look at what it says. Actually, if you're reading in your Bibles, he talks about the gifts. And then chapter 13, he says, actually, the way of love. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I have nothing. If I give away all I have, I like, your Lord, like, wouldn't that be a real demonstration of what love looks like? If I give away all I have, now look at the next one. He says, if I deliver up my body to be burnt, but have not love, I gain nothing. Like, God, what are you speaking about? I thought, like, you said in your word that no greater love is any man than to lay down his life for someone else. But he says that even if we do that with the, like, I'm going to die, but I'm going to die with the wrong motive. That's a very bad idea. And you know, this is a true thing, eh? This is a true thing, because if you look at some of the things that happen in mainly in America, where these guys buy weapons and they're mentally unstable, and then they go and there was something recently this week that happened at a shopping mall where a guy was going around with his weapon and just shooting people. And you know, a lot of these guys, like, they know they're going to die, but they actually want to be remembered. Like, I want my life to be written in history. Okay, we don't want our lives to be written in history like that. But there is this very sick underlying thing in these guys that they prepare to die and be remembered for a terrible crime. Now, we know that those are very bad motives to do what they were doing. But there is something in us that can lean into the fact that even when we exercise spiritual gifts, that there can be a little bit of selfishness in that. And I remember, I'll give you an example of this, when I was much younger in ministry, and I studied at Bible college, and then we went into full-time ministry. And even before that, I used to lead worship, and I was gifted in leadership. And but I was very, very, very insecure. And because of, I came out of a very broken home and didn't get a lot of affirmation from my father, what happened was I started to find my affirmation in the church and amongst leaders, men. And every time I'd led worship, or I'd preached, or I'd done something, there was always something in me that wanted some sort of positive feedback. I was always looking for the pats on the back, actually. And it built me up that when people said, oh man, that worship was so amazing, you led so well, and I would, oh, okay, my life means something, I'm worth something, because there was a hole in me that needed to be filled. And even though God had given me gifts, it was filling the wrong hole. It was filling self. And what God did, and I'll give you a short version, is basically we got sent out to ministry in a different church. And even through leadership there that was not great, God actually allowed that whole, I didn't get any affirmation. All those things that I was hanging on to, this is how serious God is about the gifts being used in the right way with the right motive, is that He actually pulled me right out of ministry. And all the things that I was hanging on to that fed my insecurities. I loved Jesus, but I loved Him in a way that I benefited for me. And so God is a jealous God. He deserves all the glory. And you know, it wasn't something like I did it for the glory, but I needed some glory myself, because it made me feel good and it gave me self-worth. And God says, you will not find your self-worth in the things that you do. You need to find your self-worth in who you are in me. regardless if you did anything. And so God allowed that time of ministry to be pulled out from underneath us, and I had to go back into the working world for a long time while God started to work in my life and saying, you need to do this for me. You need to serve me when no one's looking. You need to love me when no one's looking. You need to exercise the gifts when no one sees, even if it's to somebody else that never says anything to anybody else about what you do. Because love has to be the motive. So it goes on to say, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love is not irritable or resentful. You know when somebody buys that car that you really want? And you go, oh, I'm so happy for you. Oh, why did God give that to him? Like, God, I'm active for you. I'm serving harder than that person, and they get the promotion. There's something inside of us, right, that those are tough things, what God is asking. But that's a bit of a childish attitude, because he says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child. Some of us catch ourselves thinking like children. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, then I shall fully know fully, even as I've been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And then into chapter 14, he says to you and I, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And so the very foundation of why would we even look at this stuff? Why would we even pursue, I'm happy, I'm coming to church, I read my Bible, I send encouraged messages, something that now I've got to like do extra. It doesn't feel like that sometimes because life can be quite overwhelming. Now we're looking at the spiritual gifts, so why would you even bother to do that? Because it has to be rooted in love. It has to be rooted in Jesus. And so that's why Paul holds these two commands side by side. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. When Paul uses the word earnestly desire, he's speaking about a deep, active longing, a pursuit that flows from the heart. Desire is not passive. It is fueled by what you and I value and what we hold dear. We always move to what we truly desire. So when our hearts are shaped by the love of Christ, we begin to desire the things that will most build others up. There is a willing alignment of heart and action. To earnestly desire means that you pray for it, you make space for it, you step out in faith towards it, and you keep pursuing it over time. Earnestly desire comes from a word that means to be zealous, to burn with passion, to eagerly pursue something with intention. A little bit like when I first met Delia. How many years ago, babe? 31. I eagerly desired her. I felt a lot of passion for her. I still do. I still eagerly desire her. It's just got better. So, guys, consistency. Consistency is the key. When I go out and I come back in the car, I'm eagerly desiring to go back inside to spend time with her. Yeah, and so, like I shared my testimony, often the problem with you and I is that due to our insecurities, we focus on building up of ourselves instead of others. But love causes us to look away from ourselves and to those around us. Again, that scripture in Corinthians 13, if I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Think about that for a minute, this evening. Even you're sitting here, we're singing these songs, we're learning about spiritual gifts. Is there something in you and I that is pursuing these things for something other than something godly? Some self-recognition, some self-worth. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with those things in our lives because it will limit us in the way that he uses us in those gifts if we're going to use it for selfish gain. And that was my story. My ministry was limited. My impact was limited because I was taking something of those gifts for myself instead of God receiving the glory. So if love is the motive, if it's the why behind everything we do, then it won't stay hidden. Real love doesn't sit still. It moves. And so secondly, my point is this. Love is the movement. You see, love moves us away from ourselves and self-focus, and it gets us to focus on each other. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up." Some great stories. Sabrand was talking about, how many of you love encouragement? I can't exist without it. It's something that when somebody messages you out of the blue or somebody says, "Hey man, I'm thinking about you, I was praying for you, the Lord," there's nothing like encouragement. All of us need it. When you're growing up and your parents encourage you to pursue different things, there's nothing more powerful than encouragement. But it's got it. You know, there is that scripture where David encourages himself in the Lord, but he's reminding himself of what the Lord said, right? But its point is, if you're saying, "Hey, Carl, I just want to tell you, when you're looking in the mirror, you look great today. Man, you're so handsome." Means nothing. Okay, baby, I know you still think that, but encouragement has to come from somebody else. And there's something deep inside of that gravitates towards. How many of you, we don't hang around people who make us feel miff all the time, or they just seem draining. I won't tell you who you are if you're draining. But some of us can be draining, okay? I'm joking. Yes, but we can. So it's a joke and it's not a joke. So look in the mirror and say, "Oh, am I draining?" And don't lie to yourself. I'll give you one key if you're draining. This is for free. I didn't even put this in my notes. When you're with people and you only talk about yourself, then you become draining. When you're with people, let them talk about themselves. Then they're draining and you not. But don't get drained. Listen to them and be gracious. Okay? Endure them. We don't want to endure one another. Okay, so when we have the next conversation, you say, "You start." "No, you start." "No, you start." "No, you go first." "No." And then nobody said anything and then you walk away. It's cool. That was just for free. Okay. So love doesn't leave us where we are. It moves us away from ourselves towards others and their benefits. Scripture calls us to be intentional about this. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, listen to this. It says, "Let us consider." Not, "I've got nothing else to do today. What am I going to do? Let us consider." So there's an intentionality. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Hebrews 10. Are we considering during our weeks, during our time, who we can stir up to love and good works? You see, hope and encouragement don't just happen. We don't just think about it. We plan for it. We step into it. Every one of us needs to be built up, and love compels us to be part of that process. We read in the scripture, it says that the whole body causes the growth of the body when each part is working properly. That means every one of us carries something of Christ for somebody else. So Jesus is the head, right? The Bible talks about that. But the Bible says that we are his body. Now, nothing below my neck can function properly if the head doesn't instruct it to do it, okay? Some of us have got to, you know, when you get older, maybe my dealer says, you know, that leg of yours, it's just, the head's not saying anything, but it's Sabrant will tell you, you're just hyperactive, okay? Or what do I do? I said, "No, man, I'm not twitching my hand." And then she says, "You see, you're doing it again." Okay, some of us have those little things but it's minor, okay? If you headbutting when you go to people and it's uncontrollable, then it'll be a problem. But generally, Christ is the head and everything happens And it got to happen here, and then it happens there. So Christ is the head. He's the one who supplies the gifting and power to us. And it's love that compels us. But we are the ones who build the church, build the body up. That's you and I. And so we have a great responsibility when it comes to what God is asking us to do. Okay, so practically this means we speak with words that strengthen people. We show up for people. We carry people's burdens. We go and paint people's houses. And we walk with one another in love. That it's not just, hey, how's it, man? We bump into each other. We have a quick conversation. And then we don't speak to each other during the week. That's why we often say, even when we come into church, that church, coming to church is great. And it's good to be on a Sunday. But if you really want to find family and connection, where does it happen? Number one, community. And then all the, what? Oh, I thought you said emails. Nope. Well, you can send a nice email if you really want to. But definitely, friendship and connection happens in our homes. Spiritually, it means that we use the gifts God has given us, praying, encouragement, sharing scripture, stepping out in faith as the Holy Spirit leads us. This kind of life happens when we are close enough to know one another and committed enough to invest in one another. Who are you investing into? You sitting in this congregation today, is there someone else in this congregation that you are investing your time, your gifts, and your talents into them, maybe getting nothing in return? Because a gift is something you give away, right? A gift is something that doesn't have strings attached. Okay, I'm giving you this gift, but it's kind of like, what do I get in return? We're pouring our lives out for one another. Who are you pouring your life into right now, even in this context, in this family, in this congregation? You see, love expresses itself through faith. Love is not merely a feeling or a sentiment. It is the driving force that expresses itself through faith and finds visible form in works. True faith is never passive. It is active and energized by love, moving us into action. And so James chapter 2 says this, 14 to 17. Let me see if I can get there. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poor, poorly clothed, and lacking in daily food. Okay, guys, sometimes you may think people are poorly clothed, but it's just a different style to you. Okay, so don't be hard on them. We say to my daughter as she's walking out, you're poorly clothed. But I can tell you one thing, that they're not lacking in daily food. So your kids are going to say, Dad, I'm lacking in daily food and I'm poorly clothed. I need to go to the shop. And one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things they need for the body. What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Titus chapter 3 verse 8 says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. So spiritual gifts are not the only works that it's talking about, but it is a big part of what is the writer is speaking about here, is that faith without works, faith without the exercising of gifts doesn't build the body up. You can walk here with the faith to move mountains, but if you never pray, you never speak, you never connect, that faith is dead. You can believe in Jesus, you can have, because early on we says if you have faith to remove mountains, and that's verse, there's the other says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, okay, you can move a mountain. But if we're not exercising that faith, it's dead. And so there's this challenge to us, Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see what? Your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus to do good works. Are you getting it by now? That we can't sit here and just receive. And even if you got saved last week, you cannot come back next week and just receive. God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you a purpose. And we as a body will not be built up unless every one of us is playing our part. We're busy renovating at the moment, and they've moved pretty quickly. But first, there's a foundation. They put that down. That's got to dry. And then brick by brick, every day, there's a bit of work. And it's brick by brick by brick. And in a sense, you and I are the building bricks of this congregation, that as we are placed on top of one another, around one another, next to one another, we begin to build something that Jesus says, or what he sees as looks good, something stable. But here's the tension I think you and I can feel. We can talk about love, we can even feel stirred by it, but how do we actually know how we measure it? So how do we measure it? And that's my third point, is this. Love is the measure. Romans, if you've got your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. Are you guys still with me? Okay, almost done. Romans chapter 12, it says, gifts of grace. It says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, that's you and I, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What do you think that means? Do not think of himself or yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You know, sometimes I used to think in early days of ministry that I was quite important, okay? There was a bit of pride there. There was a bit of, I wanted recognition. Oh, look what I do, or I could do it better than you. And there were times in my life that I did think a little bit too highly than I ought about myself. And one of the evidences of this, and this is why often you'll hear it preached and hear it said, especially as we build kingdom values in Josh Jen, is there's this seek first the kingdom of God and all these things that you... So seeking first the kingdom of God exists of people, you and I, the people sitting next to you. And so if we're thinking too highly of ourselves than we ought, it means that we are placing our lives, our important, our vision, our dreams, our lifestyle, our pursuits, all of those things higher than the person next to us. It means that we are prioritizing the things that we are living for over and above the people sitting around us. You get what I'm saying? And so there's got to be a balance there. We're going to look what that looks like in a moment. Okay, so it says, each according to the measure of faith. Again, there's a measure of faith that God has assigned to you and I. It says, for as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. Talks about prophecy and all that exaltation and teaching. And then it goes, marks of a true Christian. It then goes on to say, let love be genuine. Now, genuine means like, you know, I want genuine parts from my card. I want the what do they call the gray stuff? But you know, if somebody's been genuine, what it's really saying is, don't be hypocritical. Let love be genuine. So as we pursue these gifts, as we exercise these gifts that God has given us, that we do it in a way that is genuine, that we don't exercise them to make ourselves look good, but underneath, we're just not that person. We're portraying ourselves to be something that we're actually not. And you know, the easiest place to do that is right here in this building on a Sunday. Or it's easy to do that on a Wednesday when you exercise the gift, you got all the right, quote all the right scriptures. But do people really know who you are? Are we living in true community? Do we let people see who we truly are? Because otherwise we're just being hypocritical. We're projecting ourselves in a way that is not who we really are. And you know, the thing is that you can only keep them up for so long. And so I want you to think about this in terms of maybe put that scale up. That's why I was asking for a scale. It would have been great if I had one, but it seems like they're very difficult to find. Okay, so if you look at this picture, you've got faith that has weighted the scale down. And if the scale is representing love in terms of what has been written in the scriptures, what would you say that scale is? It's out of balance. Okay. So if we have all the faith, but we don't have works, our love is out of balance. Our love in this congregation and our love for Jesus and our love for one another is out of balance. So you may think you're doing well, you may think you're okay, but according to that and according to what the scripture is saying, if we are not eagerly desiring, if we are not earnestly seeking and exercising the gifts that God has given you and I, our love for him and each other is out of balance. So put that next slide in. So what brings the balance? Works, gifts, talents, service. Is your love out of balance according to the scripture this evening? If you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in terms of serving one another, building each other up, or are you still very much, as you sit in this congregation, on the receiving end? That's not what God calls us to be. He calls us to love one another. Don't let your love be out of balance. Okay, as I land this. Once our lives begin to come into alignment, where faith and action meet, something powerful starts to happen. And this is my heart for us as a congregation. It doesn't just come from a once-off moment. It becomes a way of life. And my fourth point is this, is love is the momentum, not just a moment. Romans chapter 12, verses 9-13. Let me just get there quickly. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Again, there's intention. Hold fast. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Again, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And what does it say? Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So hospitality can be a gift, but it also says that is something, gift or not, that you and I need to pursue, that we need to seek hospitality. That's why we read in the book of Acts 42, or 2 verse 42, why does it talk about devotion? Why did the church grow? It's because they were devoted to these things. They prioritized these things. And I do believe that the gifting was amongst them. And that's why the church grew. That's why I believe that we will grow if you and I are seeking the gifts, are exercising the gifts, and that we are flowing in the gifts, not for your own benefit or my benefit, but for the benefit of each other. Think about it like this. If you think of that scale, what would it look like if you and I, if every single one of us was carrying our weight? That our faith no longer looks like that scale, it's there. But if every one of us here this afternoon are carrying our weight, are active in the things that God has called us, what would we look like as a church? When people come through those doors, and they experience the presence of Jesus through lives that love him and love one another. And we love one another because love does. It's not just, hey man, thinking about you. It's serving one another, building each other up. So where does love begin and where does it end? It's with Jesus, right? Everything we've spoken about today doesn't start with us trying harder. It starts with him. Because before we were ever called to love, he loved us first. That the foundation of everything that you and I do, why we even seek the gifts, why we love one another, is because we have seen his presence, we've experienced his presence, and we've experienced the gift of his relationship with us like we've never known. Who wouldn't want to share that with somebody else? That would impact the world. And obviously the gifts are not just for us here in this place, but it's for those around us, in our workplaces, in our families. Everything is from him, through him, and to him. The love we give comes from him. The gifts we carry come through him. The lives we build are for him. Jesus is not the example of love. He is the source of it. So why don't we just stand as I close. Jesus is the greatest expression of that love. It's not in a sermon. It's not in a moment. It's not even in a miracle. It's the cross. Jesus gave his life for you and I. Not that we could just have an abundant, selfish life, but that we may live it to the full. Not that we get the fullness of it, but at the fullness to each other. I wonder if there's anyone in this place this afternoon as we close our eyes that you've never received